I am faced with a dilemma tonight. We're dealing with the verses, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it might be well with you and all. I don't see any children in the place. So, but in order that we might go right through, let's pray that God has something for us in the exhortation tonight. As Paul is dealing in this portion of the book of Ephesians with the walk of the believer, he starts out the book of Ephesians telling of the wealth of the believer. All of the riches that we have in and through Christ Jesus. And then having given to us that wonderful riches that we have in Christ, he tells you now, this is how you're to walk. And how we are to walk in relationships. And this is continuing in how to walk in relationships. And he is writing to the children that they are to obey their parents in the Lord. It should first be noted that the commandment is to obey them in the Lord. Unfortunately, in the day and the age in which we are living, a day in which is described as the scriptures' perilous times, when people would be without natural affections. There are many children, and my heart goes out to them, who are living in totally ungodly homes. We have dealt with far too many children who have been sexually abused by their parents. I do feel that this is probably one of the most horrible sins, if there is any degree that God does place, that a person can commit. We've talked with people of all ages, older people who are still suffering as the result of sexual abuse when they were a child. It marks them for life. And only the love and the grace of Jesus Christ can erase the pain and the hurt and the damage that is done by sexually abusing a child. These are times when oftentimes a parent fights against the child's faith in God. We've had many cases here at Calvary where young people have come on Monday nights, accepted the Lord, and then when their parents found out, they've forbidden them to come back. We've had cases where kids who were on drugs accepted the Lord and began to witness to their parents, and we had a dad that said, I would rather that my daughter be back on drugs than to be a Christian. He said, I could understand her then, but I don't understand her now. The Bible speaks about unnatural affections, and surely these are unnatural affections. Now, if a parent is demanding that their child do something that is contrary to the Word of God and their conscience, then I believe that that child has an out, because it is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. As we have mentioned before, we do believe that God does have a chain of command. And in this chain of command, where the wife or the husband is the head of the wife and Christ is the head of the husband and God is the head of Christ, I believe that if there is a break in that chain of command, a broken link, for instance, if the husband is making ungodly demands upon his wife, I believe she must jump that link and be submitted unto Jesus Christ. I believe that sometimes children have to jump the link and be committed unto Jesus Christ rather than unto the ungodly demands that their parents might be making on them. Paul affirms, for this is right. One of the first breakdowns of a society, a social order, is when children refuse to obey their parents. This is why in the Old Testament, such disobedience was dealt with very severely. Because this is a mark of the breakdown of a society which is ultimately going to eventuate in the disillusionment of that society. It's going to fall apart. And we see today the signs of a society that is falling apart. We see the disobedience of children to their parents. We see children running free on the streets. Young children are involved in vicious crimes. Deuteronomy chapter 21, under the law, it was to be dealt with in extremely severe ways. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken to them, then shall his father and mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of his city unto the gate of his place. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all of the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die, and so shall you put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, that shocks us. And we cannot comprehend that kind of a action towards a child. But this does illustrate to us the position that God takes concerning a child that is rebelling against the godly edicts of their parents. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that a child that is left to himself will bring shame to his mother. In Proverbs 6, Solomon said, my son, keep your father's commandment. Forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them about your neck. And when you go, it will lead you. When you sleep, it will keep you. When you awake, it will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instructions are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let her take you with her eyes. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Now this is the advice of a father to his son. In this area, the advice goes for all men. Whether you be under your parents' house or you have your own house, this is for you. The statement, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. How many people you have seen, how many men you have seen, who have lost their careers, have lost their families, have lost respect because of a whorish woman. The pain, the hurt, the sorrow that it brings. I was talking with the junior high school kids the other day up at the youth camp. And I talk very straight to them. Because I feel that it is important that you shoot straight with them. And we were looking at Isaiah chapter 1. Where the Lord calls to us to reason together. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And as you go back, beginning with verse 2, all the way through, God is calling them to consider, to think about it. And he's pointing out how unreasonable sin is if you just stop to think about it. Unfortunately, many children in junior high school have already begun to experiment with sex. And so I was sharing with them about the subject and about the issue, and I asked the question, how long does the thrill last? 30 seconds? 40 seconds? And yet, for that 30 seconds of thrill, it's quite probable that you will pick up a venereal disease, such as herpes, that will last the rest of your life. Now, does it really make sense for a thrill that may last 20 or 30 seconds to the rest of your life be plagued with, say, herpes? Something that you will pass on to your marriage partner? Something that you will pass on to your children? Something that will become your heritage? And here the scripture tells us that for a whorish woman, a man is brought to a crust of bread. Fathers, Solomon was wise in instructing his sons in the aspects of sexual relations. Sometimes I think that we as fathers are embarrassed to talk to our sons about these issues. But I think that it is vitally important for every dad to warn his son and to encourage his son towards moral purity. Obedience to parents, godly parents. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful thing it is to have godly parents. There's an interesting story in the book of Jeremiah where God told Jeremiah to go to the Rechabites and invite them to come in to the temple of God and there to offer them wine. So Jeremiah went to this sort of family group known as the Rechabites, and he set these large flagons of wine before them and gave them cups, and he says, "Drink up, fellows." And they said, "Oh no, we don't drink. Our father Jonadab was told by his father Rechab not to drink wine. So we don't drink." This command was given some 280 years earlier by one of their great-great-great-grandfathers to his son, but they passed it on down. And here they were, 280 years later, still obeying the wisdom and the commandment of this Rechab. Marvelous thing. And so then God used that as an illustration. He said, here are these guys, you know, way back somewhere in the family, some fellow said his kid don't drink wine, and they're still obeying. But my people don't obey me. I'm commanding them and they're not obeying me. The second command here is honor thy father and thy mother. When Moses brought the two tables of stone down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments inscribed by God, the first table of stone had the commandments that dealt with man's relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make to thee any graven image to bow down and worship it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The second table of stone had the laws that dealt with man's relationship with his fellow man. It is interesting to me that the very first commandment that God gave that relates to our relationship with fellow man is the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. The Lord said that the days may be long in the land that the Lord thy God giveth to thee. Now, you're coming into this land that you might enjoy this land for a long time. There has to be the basic order of the family where the children are honoring the father and the mother. When that begins to break down, your society begins to break down, and as the result, you will become weakened and you will become captives to other nations. The whole foundation begins with the honoring of the father and the mother. In Deuteronomy, the commandments are repeated. And there, this commandment is just a little different from in Exodus. There it is, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that's the same idea, in the land, and that it might go well with thee, this has been added, that it might go well with thee in the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thy days may be prolonged, a longer life, and a good life, that it might be well with thee. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And one of the signs and the indications of the perilous times were children disobedient to parents. In Romans chapter 1, Paul makes reference to the total breakdown of the society. And that breakdown of the society, one of the marks of the breakdown was disobedient to parents. And for this cause, Paul said, the wrath of God is going to be revealed from heaven. It seems that Paul is making reference to Deuteronomy when he here says, honor thy father and thy mother. For he goes on to say, which is the first commandment with promise. And the promise is that it might be well with thee and that you might live a long life on the earth. So for a good life. What a delight it is to visit in a home where the children are well behaved. You chuckle. Because we know what it is to visit in homes where children aren't well behaved, and we think, oh man, how soon can we get out of here? The chaos when children are not well behaved. The misery in a home where children are not under control, but seem to have the run of the house. It's chaotic. And how many times those children who are not disciplined and not under control suffer as the result, because they haven't been taught, because they haven't been made to obey. They do things that are foolish, frivolous, dangerous, and oftentimes die early. Oftentimes damage themselves permanently, physically, because they would not be under the control and the guidance of their parents. How many times they suffered later in life because they were always allowed to do whatever they wanted to do without being disciplined. I look at children today and feel sorry for them when about the only breakfast they get is sugared cereals out of a box. I wonder what the long-term physical effect is going to be when they grow up on snacks. I thank God that my mother was very health conscious. We had whole grain cooked cereals for breakfast. Kids thought that we were sort of being treated mean because we always had whole wheat bread for sandwiches. We didn't have that white enriched floured stuff. We didn't eat cornflakes or post toasties. Always had the green and yellow vegetables and leafy vegetables and all for dinner. I mean, it was good, solid, healthy food. But today, I am blessed physically because of the good diet that my mom forced on us when we were kids. We didn't eat all of that stuff. We didn't have Cokes. We didn't, you know, I mean, she was very conscious of what we would eat. Where kids would have candy bars, I'd have a box of raisins for my sweets or dates. I sort of thought that I was suffering too. And I'd bum bites of candy bars from my friends. But oh, how thankful I am today. Because of the strong, healthy body that I still enjoy. And how many times do I just thank the Lord for the health and the strength that He has given to me? But it traces back to a disciplined diet. And I wonder, these kids today, and you see them with all of the junk food, the pizzas and the McDonald's and all, you know, and you wonder just what is going to come of them when they are 50, 60 years old or so. As a good parent, as a wise parent, it is incumbent on us to be very concerned about our children. I think that we should be concerned about their diets, their physical well-being. And I think that it is important that we be concerned for their spiritual well-being, that we raise healthy physical and spiritual children. One of the greatest joys of bringing up your children in the fear and nurture of the Lord is in the later years, where the family just gets closer and closer all the time. And we have such tremendous joy. My only disappointment in life is that I don't have a big compound where all the family lived on the same piece of property. I've told my wife my dream would be to have a few acres and each kid have their own house. I like those cultures where when the kid gets married, you build another story on the house, you know. And just right there. I said, I would love it if when the kids go in for dinner at night and they don't like what their parents have fixed, they come over to Grandpa and Grandpa's, you know, to see what we had for dinner. But all the benefits and the blessings of doing it the biblical way. God has set the rules. It's important that we follow them. That our days may be long and that it might be well with us. In other words, it's just a good, happy life. David said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also are they than the honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. The law of the Lord, keeping it, great reward. Father, we thank you that you do love us, and because of your love, you've given us the rules for a good, healthy, long life. And Father, our hearts go out to many of our children who are growing up without any Christian influence in the home whatsoever. Those who have not had the benefits of godly parentage. Those who have had to sort of on their own seek. Now we thank you, Lord, that you loved them and revealed yourself so that they did find you. But Lord, they miss that companionship and fellowship in the Spirit with the parents. And Lord, our hearts go out to them. But Lord, we pray that we might pass on to our heritage godly principles. Even as Rechab, who told his son Jonadab not to get involved in wine. May we pass on principles that will pass on down through the family. May we set examples and ideals, Lord, that will pass on from generation to generation, that the blessings that we have experienced from your hand might be passed on to the next generation and then to the next. And as you've spoken, Lord, that we would see our children's children. And what a blessing, Lord. Beautiful blessing. Lord, in a day and an age when rebellion is the theme of the world in which we live, and our children are being encouraged to rebel against authority in the music that is popular and among their peers, Lord, we pray that we might have the strength to exercise the necessary discipline so that our children, Lord, might grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and might indeed, Lord, hear the instruction of their fathers and of their mothers. Lord, we realize that there are some parents here tonight who have children who are in rebellion and are in the process of destroying themselves. Lord, you know how difficult it is for us as parents to see our children engaged in things that we know are destructive and harmful and things that will later come back to haunt them. And Lord, so often we feel helpless because they're not willing to listen to the wisdom and the counsel. And so, God, we pray that you would deal with them in your processes of discipline so that they will not destroy themselves, but will come to know that the law of the Lord is perfect. And may they be obedient, Lord, unto you. Draw them, Lord, back to a commitment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and may He bless your home, your family, your relationships. Next week, we'll be looking at the other side of the coin, the parents and how to be a good parent, parenting, that's the issue, and how to be a godly parent, a good parent, one that will have the joys and the rewards of seeing the blessings of God upon your children and upon your children's children. So may the Lord watch over you, keep you in His love, in Jesus' name.